Online dating can be deadly. Literally. Dating coach Kelly Gagalis reveals the red flags, safety hacks, and how to swipe safely before your next match. Do not go on your next date, ladies, until you listen to this episode. Quick heads up, friends. I partnered with Paul Bauer from the Come On Man podcast, and he's got four killer resources that can seriously up your dating game, from building confidence to mastering conversations to the dead bedroom syndrome. It's all stuff I stand behind. And yes, I get a small commission if you grab one. You're not just supporting yourself, you're supporting the show too. Win-win, right? Check the links in the show notes. Now on to the show. Welcome to another episode of Digital Dating with Anonymous Andrew. And I am really excited today because I have been waiting for a guest like this for a long time. Today, I'd like to welcome Kelly Gagalis.
Gagalis, you got it.
Okay. God, we practiced that so many times. Kelly is, well, first of all, she's a dating coach and she has a new, or I don't know if it's new, but she's got a program out called Swiping or Swipe Safely. And she's all about online dating for women. And she has a master's in marriage and family counseling, therapy. And she is a ABC TV personality in the morning. So you appear on ABC sometimes for
once a month
of segments. Great. That must be kind of cool. All right. So Kelly's here to talk about online dating, which is what I've been trying to talk about for months. And so Kelly's going to help us out with, especially the ladies listening. Kelly, how did you get into this? And there must be some, I usually hear stories that, you know, like I did, like how I got into podcasting was a traumatic event. I don't know that it was that way for you, but how did you get into this?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I could probably count being a dating coach even earlier before I got my degree, because in my 30s, I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm not meeting the people I want. And I just kind of figured out a way to do dating. And my dating life changed. And my roommates were like, well, how did you go from being a disaster to getting this really great guy? And then when I went and did my degree in marriage and family therapy, my single clients would kind of work on the things they came in for, and we would get done. And they'd say, okay, now you just have to help me find someone to be with, right? And so that's kind of how it started, was just my single clients having their next goal being, you know, after they work through the trauma or whatever they came to me for, is their next goal being, you know, how do I find someone? And what happened was I started a high ticket offer. I work with women in a very hands-on boutique kind of way. And I work very closely with them. I teach them how to do their profile. I work on their mindset and everything else. And about 3 or 4 years ago, I noticed whenever I go to a party and tell people what I did, they'd say, oh, do I have a dating story for you? And they tell me this horrible dating story. And I'd be like, I don't experience that. And the women that I coach don't experience that. So how is this happening? And the more I would ask them what they did leading up to their date, the more I'm like, oh, wow, I built in guardrails and I didn't even know it. So I've been for a couple of years now working on taking the guardrails out of my premium coaching package, because I don't want safety to be something like I want safety to be for everyone, right? And I try to make it as affordable as possible, but I also want to preach the basics, which is why I'm on here, to just get people doing things that will at least make it much harder for them to be a target, much harder for somebody to get to them. So that's kind of my origin story.
What would you say is the number one danger for women on dating apps today?
Number one danger, it actually depends on your age. Number one danger for women over 45, 50 would be scammers. Number one danger for women 35 to 45 would be getting in a relationship with someone that's more of a taker or a narcissist, or someone that doesn't have the emotional bandwidth to give in return. Number one danger for someone in their 20s, early 30s would be being stalked, being targeted, or being abducted in some way.
Or assaulted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And I mean, assault can happen at every age, but just, it just changes. Sure. The dangers just, the percentages just change as you get into different demographics.
Okay. Let's start with, I have a...
Is it okay if I say that the number one dangers for men are a little bit different depending on age? But again, if you don't do dating the right way, you get with the wrong person and don't realize it, don't realize their intentions. Men can also be stalked. They are less likely to be assaulted. But there are two Netflix specials about how women upended the lives of the men that they had an interaction with, not even a date with, an interaction with, and put them, like, endangered their children, endangered people around them, and stalked them, and then made their lives a misery for years. So again, it's not common, but it can happen. And it certainly is very common for people to get in a relationship where they're not getting what they need out of it, and they're pouring their whole heart into it and not getting it reciprocated in turn.
And I'm raising my hand because that's how this podcast started.
But that's what you had said.
There were, since then, I have been on many dates. I've stayed out of relationships, but I need to get out there and date just to, for the podcast, for myself, to practice, and to report back to the audience what I'm finding. And I tell them what apps I'm on. I tell them what I'm doing, how I do my profile. And I go over some of the things that you and I have went over earlier, like don't give out your phone number. We'll get all to that. But I was stalked and I was...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it wasn't serious. I shut it down pretty quickly, but I was also scammed. They attempted to scam me two different times just recently. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I fit that bracket, the age bracket, where younger women or women in general will look at me and see maybe he has some money and I'm targeted. So anyway, we're not talking about me. Okay.
Well, no, but that's just to say that's really common. People, especially as you get over 65, and it's if you lose a spouse or if you've been alone for a long time, it's very lonely. Our society does not have a thriving community for people over 60. And I have clients, I have I've known people who know, like they know in their gut that the person is a scammer, but it feels so nice to actually have attention that they want to believe that it's not so badly, that they'll really kid themselves for as long as possible. And it's common. It's not anything to be ashamed of, but it's somebody exploiting the vulnerability of that age group.
And typically they're lonely. So they have the attention of somebody who is love bombing them, how beautiful you look. And I just went through that a week or two ago. There was a Russian woman who was on Bumble, and she started off with some very beautiful pictures, and we texted and was very casual, but I knew right from the onset.
Yeah.
So the bottom line was she tried to get me to buy cryptocurrency, and that's when I finally blocked her. And while I'm getting into scam baiting, I could have had a lot of fun with her. I could have seen how far that went and wasted her time. I don't have the time to waste these days because I got three podcast shows. I have a full-time job and a life and grandchildren and yada, yada, yada. So anyway, well, let's get into maybe what somebody would come to you with. Do people come to you with their profiles already built? Do they come to you saying, I want to get online? Could you help me? And I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you pick, do you find some dating app better than others, or do you stay neutral with that?
I don't stay neutral, but what I tell everyone is dating apps are only as good as how everybody in your area believes they are. So Match has worked fabulously for some of my clients in the New England area, and it has been horrible for some of my clients in different parts, like more in the Midwest, just depending where they are. It also depends on your gender. Because if you think about it, an app that works great for women is one where there are a few women and lots of men. And an app that works great for men is one, you know, with the opposite. Unfortunately, that's just the difficulty. I am actually single. I have tried a lot of apps myself to just kind of get the feel for it. And there's a vibe to each one of them. Like I know Zoosk in my area, I don't know if this is everywhere, Zoosk in my area is a lot of men who like Harley Davidsons or more blue collar. I've had some lovely interactions with men on that, whatchamacallit, So OkCupid has more of a white collar vibe. So, but that's just my area. That doesn't mean that it's that way across the country.
You don't have to tell me, but what is your area?
Oh yeah, Portland, Oregon area.
Okay, you're Northwest. Okay.
Northwest, yeah.
All right, yeah. I'm outside New York City, so.
Yeah.
And my audience knows this. I'm currently on Bumble, Hinge, mm-hmm. and Facebook dating. And I'm also on something called Spark. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I haven't heard of that one yet.
Yeah, I had the gentleman who created it on the show a while back.
Oh, cool.
And it's a video speed dating app. So they match Fantastic. You with somebody. Yeah, you cannot. So you match with somebody, but you cannot text them. Your first interaction has to be video.
That is a brilliant idea because I know you're probably going to go there, but one of the things I teach my clients to do is to have a conversation, to see
Thank
them on
you.
Video before you even make plans to meet up.
See who they are. Make sure they match their pictures and that they're real. And I know AI today is getting advanced and they could probably filter or create an image or something, but it's better than going in blindly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the problem with Spark, there's nobody on it. Like in New York City, every time I go says nobody in your area. So I don't know that they launched. There's a new app that just came out. I interviewed them 2 weeks ago. It's called Splash Match.
Okay.
And it was created by two college students in Indiana University. And
okay.
it just launched March 28th, I think.
Okay.
So there's and of course now there's Duet. I don't know if you know much about Duet.
Yeah. No, I'm not up on apps. I've been really focusing on the swipe safely part, but I am getting ready to take new clients. So this is great to give people access. But again, if nobody in your area knows about the app, like Spark sounds like a phenomenal app that would really yield a higher degree, a higher quality results. But if nobody knows about it and no one's on it, then there's no one to play with.
I don't get why you develop an app and then I haven't seen advertisements on social media.
Yeah.
Anywhere. I advertise it because I don't think, but they're still going because I get push notifications every day, like, come on. But when I go on, it says no matches, whatever. Okay.
Okay.
Let's get into the nitty gritty. Have some rules for swiping safely or just online dating in general. Let you take it from here.
I mean, what I have for Swipe Safely is it's basically a portal that you have 20, and I try to keep them under 5 minutes. A lot of them are 2 minutes. One of them is 7 minutes long, but really just very digestible. I try not to repeat anything. I just give you the down and dirties. And I wanted it to be an app so that if you're on a date and you're like, oh gosh, this happened, what do I do? You can reference it. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
So women can download it. They're like, oh, this guy is behaving really creepy. I'm a little scared. What do I do? And boom, you go to the lesson. So that's kind of the general overview. But also it's how do you set up your profile? How do you do this? So I'm going to try and give you as much as I possibly can from that. So the biggest thing to keep yourself safe, starting with setting up a profile, make sure that in your writing and in your pictures, there's nothing that someone who is in your area or can Google. Like, don't take a picture outside your coffee shop that you go to all the time with your dog and say, you know, another time at Sparks coffee shop or whatever. That's somebody that never has seen you and can figure out, because some apps you can figure out where somebody is, like what town, and they can Google that and they can go and just wait and see if they can see you. There are people that would love to be watching you without you knowing it, right?
Yeah.
And we all create fantasies in our head when we're dating, and these people can create a fantasy in their head before you're even dating, even if you haven't met. Now that's very rare, but we don't want you to be the rare one. So nothing in your wording, nothing in your pictures that somebody, if they wanted to wait a week and look for you, that they're likely to find you. That's number one.
I can give you a perfect example. I live down by the beach. I'm on the south shore of Long Island, and there's a very famous common beach for the locals here. And I get a lot of matches from that beach town.
Yeah.
And they're taking pictures on the boardwalk. They're taking pictures at the restaurants there. And I sometimes write back to them because we match and I say, hey, it looks like you're at Riptide. It's the name of a snack shack. And so I never thought of it that way, though, because I can recognize where they are, but I'm not the guy that's going to go stalk them, you know.
Right.
But I never thought that somebody else might go sit there and wait for them to show up. That's interesting.
Right. Right. No, and I mean, if it's someplace that you go intermittently, then you're probably okay, but you might want to do a little bit to the photo. Because it's hard to get good photos for a profile. Blur out the name. If you only go there intermittently, you're probably okay. It's the places that, like, every Tuesday at 4, I get this place for this salad, or I go here for coffee, or I take a walk. A lot of times people will, like, show themselves on a walk. Make sure that the trailhead isn't
visible. Yeah.
Visible. Cause all it takes is you hop on a phone call. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to my favorite trail this Saturday. Right. And now the person knows where, and they've seen it in your profile. Mm-hmm. They know where you are, but there's nothing to connect you to them. Nobody's going to know about that conversation. And the fact that, you know what I mean? That, so just make sure, like, just from that beginning in the profile. And the second thing you can do, and you and I had to talk about it before we even jumped on here, do not ever give out your real phone number.
No, I mean, please. Thank you.
It takes me to meet someone 2 or 3 times before I will give out my real phone number, or I really have to meet them to know who they are and what they're like, have a conversation with them. So that's the second thing. Please, the easiest is Google Voice. You said something, I wrote it down, that was
Hush.
Yeah, you said Hush is, you know, for like $40 a year, you can do everything. Because Google Voice does have impediments. Sometimes pictures are okay. Videos are hard. Sometimes you just have, like, you have to figure out how to use it. So
I got banned from Google Voice because one night I was sitting in bed at 7 o'clock at night. I was texting somebody that I met. We did exchange phone numbers. And the next morning I get an email from Google Voice saying, you violated our terms of service by overusing the texting service. And I'm like, really?
That's weird. It's all text.
They took it away from me. They literally took the phone number away. That's when I jumped over to Hush. So
yeah. Okay. That's really good to have that. I know I have a couple of clients that for some one reason or another couldn't do Google Voice. So I'm going to mention that to them. So
what are some of the other things that women are vulnerable on dating apps?
And then, okay, well,
question says, 5 ways you're vulnerable from online datings and don't even realize it. So I think that's what you're kind of in the middle of doing.
Yeah. So then the third thing I'd say is make sure that you either do a video call or a phone call before you make plans to meet someone. This is a safety, but honestly, I can't tell you how many times my clients or myself have gotten off. It's so easy to get off a boring phone call. Like you were saying, you had a date that somebody would just had no personality. You didn't jive.
Right.
Like, just let's find that out before we put on makeup and drive somewhere and get, because that's where you get the dating burnout, right? If you're constantly going on dates that lead nowhere, it's going to be very disheartening and even depressing or just frustrating. And so you just want to make sure that, hey, I enjoy talking to you. Sitting across a table for a cup of coffee isn't going to hurt. It's not going to be painful. And I'm not going to be wishing I could get out of there. So those are the top 3 things. And what I teach my clients this so they don't go on boring dates. But you know what this does? This makes you not an easy target. You know who's an easy target? Someone that you hop on a dating app and somebody says, hey, what are you doing tonight? And all of a sudden you're out there, you know, meeting someone. That's when you meet people who are cheating. That's when you meet people who are just looking for a hookup. That's when you meet people that are looking for a target in some way, shape, or form. So making it so that they have to jump through a certain amount of hoops, or it's a little bit more difficult to get time across a table, it's going to be a deterrent for someone that is not looking for a connection and kindness. It's going to be frustrating to someone that just wants to take.
So you're saying avoid last minute dates? Like somebody says to you at 5 o'clock, what are you doing tonight?
Yeah. I mean, you can go on them if you want, but those are the ones you are more vulnerable. Like if you've been talking for a while, that's okay. Like that's okay. But if you just meet them, you just connected with them at, you know, 9 a.m., you know, hopped on a phone call at
I agree. Yeah. No, the same day or second day. No.
Yeah.
You got to have some banter back and forth first. Yeah, I'm just thinking of something that I'm talking to somebody now. And this is something else that I find very frustrating is when you match, especially like on Bumble, the woman has to make the first move.
Yes, this is why I'm not on Bumble.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay, because I thought Bumble did that.
That's what Bumble wants everyone to think, that's so safe. But what the women that I talk to that are on Bumble hate it because as women, we don't feel pursued. We don't feel like
you the want biggest complaint of women.
And not even like from a male-female thing. Like, I want to know that you're interested. All of us have had relationships where the other person isn't putting in the effort. And Bumble encourages men to sit back. and kind of dings them or tells them not to be too forward. And it's like all the clients that I've had that use it, the number, like they, nobody, I have 12, 14 marriages in the past 5 years. None of them came from Bumble. No long-term relationships from Bumble. So Match, other.
I'm going to have to cancel my subscription. I just re-upped. Well,
I coach women, so maybe it's different for men, but.
But that's the point that I was getting at earlier. So I matched, we matched, and all of a sudden Bumble says, hey, you matched. And then you get this little blurb. She has 24 hours to make the first move.
Yes.
And I'm like, and then I can extend it for 48 hours. So big mm-hmm. deal. So, but where I was going with that was that in my experience, I'm not going to make this a broad statement, women seem to drag out the conversations. So this, what I'm about to tell you now is on Facebook dating. The woman and I matched just a day or two ago, and she contacted me first. Hey, what's up or something? And I answered her back, and there was a very brief exchange. And over the course of 2 or 3 days, maybe there's 4 text messages. And it seems like it takes 6 to 8 hours for her. Now, I know people are going to say, look, we have lives. But I found out that she was retired, so she's not working. Maybe she volunteered. Maybe she's, I don't know, doing something. But I would answer her, and I didn't hear from her for like maybe, you know, until 12 hours later. It's dragging. It's like pulling teeth to get them to respond and have a conversation. And I find that to be frustrating.
So here's my take. It's one of two things, and one of them will be 10% likely and the other is 90% likely. When a woman or a man doesn't respond right away, they're not quite interested, but they're not sure if they're not quite interested, and they're still figuring it out.
That's the vibe I got from her.
That's okay. That can go somewhere, but that means that if you're interested, you're going to have to bring the energy. You're going to have to pursue. You're going to have to say, you know, the turnaround time is a little bit long. I'd love to like hop on a phone call quickly.
She's retired. Cause I asked her, I said, It was Tuesday, a couple of days ago. It was a beautiful day out. And I said to her, what a lovely Tuesday. What's on your agenda for today? Are you working? Because she's in my age bracket, which is retirement, even though I'm not retired. And so she said, no, I'm retired. So I figured, I said, what did you used to do? And she didn't answer that, number one. But I went in and told her what I do. And I said, I'm in IT and I have some podcasts. And then she said to me, well, it sounds like you're too busy to date. And I was like, where did you? She's reading in between the lines. I have a day job. And I said, at nighttime, I do podcasting. Well, you're too busy to date. And I wrote her back and I said, no, I'm single and I keep my life busy. But I said, if that special woman walks into my life, she will become a priority. Because it sounded like she was trying to get out of it, or that she thought that I was too busy. I don't know.
So I'm gonna shift into dating coaching right now. And
go ahead.
That comment tells me either she's not really interested and she's looking for a reason to give because she can't quite articulate why. That's one possibility. The second possibility is she's been hurt and she's looking to a lot of people, mostly women. But I think men do it too. I just work more with women. They, you know, when you're a kid and you have the sand tools like on the beach and you have like a sieve and one is fine mesh and the other one is bigger, like they try and use these fine mesh strainers to weed out the bad prospects, but they're doing it the wrong way. They're like, oh, you're too busy. So that's a red flag. And so they're trying to figure out if you're the right person with the wrong weeding out tools. Right. And so what that tells me is there's someone, they're not secure. She's kind of someone that makes assumptions. She didn't say, hey, that sounds like you might be too busy to date. Is that true? Like she's not curious,
right.
Which to me as a dating coach, I'm like, you don't want someone that makes assumptions. You want someone that stays curious because that's the hallmark of a good relationship. So I'm going off safety here and getting into, but this is the safety of not getting stuck in a relationship where you're doing all the work and not getting anything in return.
And that's what I felt. I felt like I was doing all the work, and she gave herself an out by saying, well, you're too busy. And I came back and I said, not really. because if you were the right woman, I'd make time for you. And I haven't heard back from her, but that's okay because there wasn't a super connection anyway.
Well, and that's what I tell my clients, because it's hard. Like sometimes my clients will take things personally. I'm like, you need to look at it like, thank goodness they told me they weren't interested as soon as possible. So we're not dragging this out. It's thank you. Thank you so much for showing me that you're not jiving. We're not connecting. So
don't waste my time.
I always say there's no rejection, only feedback. Now, if that happens all the time, then we maybe need to look at, is there something emotionally, are you coming across too needy, or is there a too much factor or not enough factor that we need to address? But again, that's on the dating coach / therapist side. That's not on the safety side.
Okay.
All right. And I know I haven't answered your question about the five things. I can't remember exactly what you're, but
all right, well, we can jump it. Five ways you're vulnerable from dating, online dating, and don't realize it. And there's the five biggest mistakes that people make when they're online dating that could cost them their loved ones' safety and peace. You can maybe answer those together if they have the same.
Yeah, they're a little bit different, but let me do the safety ones. So the biggest safety ones we've talked about is, you know, being vulnerable in your pictures, being vulnerable in your language, being vulnerable by giving your
phone number.
The next way that you're vulnerable is you meet someone without a coffee date. Now, I know women that are like, I am worth it. I deserve a dinner. I'm just going to go on for the men here. They don't know you from a hole in the wall.
No dinners.
Like you need to, this isn't like you met and you sparked and you felt a connection. So we're going to continue that. This is a let's meet and see if we have a spark so that I know if I want to invest in you and you know if you want to invest in me. And so I think it's really unfair to go right to dinner. And honestly, it sometimes just goes really poorly. Again, a coffee date, I always say you have a beginning and end time. Like, hey, I can meet you from 2 to 3 on this day during the day. If you can at all manage it. I want you in the daytime. I don't want at night. I want you to have that out where if it's not going well, you've got an end time, right? And you've already had a phone call. So at least we can have a conversation.
I've taken too many women to dinner. And
it's not fair.
Being romantic and being overly polite and generous. I took, not about a year ago, I took somebody to this really nice, fancy, romantic, quiet restaurant near me that is like only the locals know about. And I spent $120. I don't drink, so there was no alcohol. I think she might have had a glass of wine. I knew 5 minutes after I sat down that I was not going to ask her for a second date. And there I am, stuck at the restaurant. And I don't remember if she offered to pay anything. Maybe I think she offered to pay the tip, but no date, no dinners. Not the first or second date. No.
No, it's not. I think it's not financially fair to the men. I mean, if you're dating, then there's a different story. But to get to know each other, it's not fair because the guys are, you know, the big thing is please date more than one person at a time. I'm not talking sleep with, please have more than one person that you're talking with, because otherwise you start to fantasize, you get all your eggs in one basket, and now you've got to make it work. And people do really dumb stuff when they feel desperate, right? So if we're going to do this model, I mean, a guy shouldn't be taking, you know, women out 3 nights a week to dinner. That's really expensive. And they should have the opportunity to date and figure, especially when you're coming out of a long-term relationship, to figure out what you want. And we need to remove the stigma from that. And I have a whole soapbox about how this starts in middle school when, you know, you're going out with someone and then you're not allowed to break up with them, but you're allowed to be sexual, right? And so dating means sex. We have the whole purity thing. It's really, really shooting ourselves in the foot because people are connecting, maybe even have chemistry, and then they hook up and now they've got to make it work, even though they're incredibly inappropriately matched. That's my little soapbox.
I do not believe in early hookups. That last girlfriend that I was with was 3 months before we went to bed, and she made me work for it. She wanted, I think, and I liked the way she did it, and she liked the way I did it. Of course, it was a lot of other intimacy that went on.
Yeah, we're not being prudes, but we're just like, let's not, you know, I'm not saying sleeping with 4 different people. If that's your jam, fine, just be ethical about it. But, you know, like But we were on the topic of coffee date versus taking someone out to dinner. And then the flip side for women, I've had a client that got up, said, thank you so much. She was bored out of her mind. The guy wouldn't stop talking. He followed her out of the coffee shop and was talking to her as she drove away. Like, so you just don't want to, for both men and women, you want to just keep those first interactions very small and safe.
Here's a question for you. So you're talking about going on coffee dates, which I have started doing, and that's what I'm going to go do going forward. What about, so let's say that we both work and we can't do a 3 o'clock coffee date. Doesn't mean you can't have coffee at
weekends.
Night.
Weekends.
Weekends. What about bar dates?
Bar dates are hard because they're more of a date. There's more of the who's going to pay the bill. There's more of the ambiguity for who's going to eat, and they're loud. It's very hard to get to know someone. So if that's all you can do, of course, go on the date rather than not. But I would say, you know, try and find some place like fast food. I don't know if there's like a fast food place, or like go for a milkshake, do an old fashioned, like an old fashioned feast type date rather than alcohol. For women, you know, don't do alcohol, especially for younger women, because it's very easy to for somebody to drop something in your drink that you don't know. Yeah. So that's the big thing for women. For men, it's not as much of a problem. But again, if it's your first date involving alcohol, I never drink on a first or second or even third date.
You become vulnerable because if you have one or two or three drinks, because you're there an hour and a half, and it could, even if you're having a glass of wine, all of a sudden your inner instincts
all
are
happens.
All gone.
Yep.
Yeah. And
all
you can make a poor decision, or the guy could take advantage of your vulnerability. So now I just asked that because, well, first of all, I don't drink. So I wouldn't, especially on a first date, I would never take her to a bar.
No, but that's normal for some people. And there's nothing wrong with a bar. I want you to get to the point that you are doing that. It's just not a safe for either person, but mostly for women. It's not a safe first or second date.
Totally agree on that. 100%.
And it's not a way to get to know someone. Bars are usually noisier. Then you have a lot of false intimacy, like where you're leaning over and whispering each other's ear. And that creates a little bit of titillation, which, you know, if there's no chemistry, fine. But if there is chemistry, it's like, you know, then you've got to,
I agree. Especially.
And chemistry is great. I just don't want you get sucked up by it on the first date.
I agree. You have on your list, and this is something that we talked about before we recorded, and I really want to know what is wrong with it. Why do old-fashioned, gentlemanly good manners put women at risk?
Yes, really, really great question. So there's two parts of that. That does not to say, because you were saying, you know, I'm a gentleman. I open the door. I do this and that. That is great. How it puts women at risk is women will often say, I want a guy that has gentlemanly manners. And they equate being a gentleman with someone being safe. There is nothing that like gets me like, do you know how fucking easy it is to pretend to be a gentleman by holding open a door and be someone that is going to assault you at the end of the night?
Yeah.
But women will feel like that's so if I
all
were
sense
a predator,
of security.
Yeah. And I wanted to make someone feel safe. I would be opening the doors and pulling out chairs. I would be over the topping it. And so that's why I feel like old-fashioned manners keep women not safe. And also, if you have someone that's a gentleman, and this actually happened to me one time, like I said something about, oh, I don't want to meet you there. Like, I would never do any. And I was like, oh, like, I felt bad that like, and I'm like, wait a minute. Like, you understand it's 2025 and this puts me at risk. And the guy was like, oh, okay. But he got really offended because he was like, I would never do that. I'm like, oh, good. I'm glad you would never do that. But please know that I don't, you know, you telling me isn't much of a guarantee.
Yeah, I don't know who you are. And there's one thing that we can agree on. And I think a lot of people forget this. The person on the other end of that dating app is a perfect stranger.
May not be who they say they are.
And they may not be who they, so, I mean, they may, their pictures may match who they are. Their bio could be very sweet and everything, but they could be an alcoholic. They could be a drug addict. They could be
mentally unaware of their own emotional issues. They could be deliberately trying to create a persona because they want to do something to harm you. You don't know. So the longer we can draw out this dating process and make it fun and engaging, like let's have some fun, but let's not just connect like we're in fifth grade and we're going to the prom. The other thing is women letting men, or even men letting women, pick you up at your address. Please stop. Everybody stop. Stop. And that's the old fashioned. I had a client who was working with me, and this was someone, she was raised very old fashioned, and she had been kind of like criticized her whole life. So she kind of, we had a lot of work to do. And she said, oh, he was such a gentleman. He picked me up at my house. I'm like, this was the first date. And she said, yes. And he held the door open. I'm like, and inside I'm like, we went over this. And I'm just like, I really had that fear response for her. And I had to like say, hey, that's great. I'm glad that that turned out well. Please don't do this in the future. Here's why. Most of the time it will be fine. And the man will be lovely. But the one time that it's not, the stakes are too fucking high.
Yeah. He knows where you live now.
He knows where you live. Like, this is not like, oh, I'll get a $50 fine, or you know, I'll have a broken heart in a couple months. This is, I could get robbed, I could get raped, I could get murdered. These stakes are way too high. And if you're a man, I could get robbed, I could get stalked, my children could be harmed, somebody could be really psychologically unbalanced and want to hurt me.
I think the pick you up at your house thing started when we were younger.
That was the epitome of gentlemanly behavior.
And you had to meet the dad. So I remember at 17, 18, 19, 20, when I had my driver's license, I would go pick up dates and the dad was right at the front door, you know?
Right, which was appropriate for that time, because that dad is going to intimidate the date and let them know there's someone watching over this person. That was appropriate. But where we are now, this is not appropriate.
Yeah. As you get older and as the times have changed, that dad is not, unless you're 35 and still living with your father, which is not going to
deter anyone anyway.
Like anyway, no one's
being intimidated by that anymore. So those are the big things. And then one of the deterrents that I just want to talk about is a lot of people that are active will want to go on hikes right away or outdoors dates. And I will say, I get it. It is so much more fun to chat and walk than it is to sit across from someone at a table. It's kind of stifling, especially if you're an active person. If you're going to do that, because I know I would prefer that you didn't do that for the first couple of dates. If you are going to do that, please make sure you tell someone where you are. Your location sharing is turned on, and you tell the person that you met for the date that someone knows, and the location sharing is turned on. And I would even have, this is me being paranoid, but especially if you're under 35 or under 40 and you're cute, I would make sure that there was a passcode that you had to say, so that if a text came through, like, it would have to say meatball in the text. And if it didn't say meatball, you'd know that it was somebody taking the phone and pretending to be you saying, oh, he's great. Because like, right, you could be bound up. Somebody could do your face and say, oh, he's great. I'm going to, you know, thanks so much. And now, you know,
if you don't hear from me the rest of the night, I'm okay. I never thought of that. That's interesting.
I know. I've been spending 3 years thinking about this. The other thing is, we want to deter, not make it easy to find someone after they do something, which is a very different mindset. The mindset of deterring is, hey, my friend's going to be following me and checking in, and I'm going to be checking in. Also, do you mind if I snap a picture of you and your license plate and just text it to my friend? I'll show you that I'm texting it to her. It's just for safety precautions. You know, some guys are going to be like,
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I've done it. The really great guys have no problem. Some guys, the guys that go like this and kind of blah, 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 and then let me do it. Like, even that aside, that's like, and it's not even.
If he's a gentleman or a decent guy and has nothing to hide, and he's out and he's not looking to harm her, he should walk her to the car and take the picture.
Absolutely.
Stand next to the car. And if a woman said that to me, I would stop and just say, I'd go to my car and I would pose and I would say, shoot away, whatever. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. And I think that's
exactly.
I think you're right. There's a lot of, especially the younger generation, and my son is one of them. They're mountain climbers. They're rock climbers. They love to go on these adventures. My son skydives and scuba dives.
Yeah.
And I could see him taking a woman out to do these things. But I don't think on the first date. I think, and maybe even the second date. The first date should be a meet and greet, correct? 15 minutes to a half hour. Have an exit strategy. And if you do vibe, then you have a second date.
Exactly. Or you stretch it out like 15 minutes, 30 minutes, but honestly, leave them wanting more. I can't tell you how many times clients have overstayed and then the chemistry and the synergy kind of, the guy was like, well, I felt that chemistry, but then, you know, they felt too much eagerness. So it's just good to both be wanting more and take it slow. It just, nothing, people don't get less interested from taking it slow, unless you're talking about this where they're kind of disappearing. But people do get turned off by too much eagerness, too much, like, you know, wait. We all know we don't want to be the person that, you know, is the last one to leave the party that everyone wishes would leave. It's the same thing on a date. You want to leave when that you feel that moment. I try and train my clients, like, there's that moment when you know you should go. Listen to that feeling and follow it. And that creates safety where the other person knows that you're not going to push for more, that, you know, it's just really safe to be with you, whether you're a woman or a man. You can read the rooms, right?
I think absolutely. I agree 100%. I think you go on a coffee date, and if it's going well, leave on a high note.
Yeah.
We're having a great time, and I would love to do this again. And get out on a high note. And like you said, leave them wanting more. And
absolutely.
Therefore, the second date is most likely to happen. So I go home, I text her that night, and I say, I really enjoyed this afternoon. Are you free Friday? And something like that. And, okay, we got about 10 minutes left, give or take. I want to give you five. I have one more question for you, but I want to give you a couple more minutes to outline any other things we didn't get a chance to cover in your Swipe Safely program.
Oh, wow. Thank you. So Swipe Safely, like I said, it's video, but I can't remember if I said it before. Sorry, I apologize if I'm repeating, but it's made to be downloaded so that if you're on a date, you can access it. Like, hey, what did she say to do if I was in a restaurant and a guy and I'm not comfortable? Because I have a couple exit strategies. I've had clients where things got creepy on a date, and usually because they didn't follow the protocol. So if you do break from the protocol and find yourself in a situation, there's a reasonable way to get out of it if you feel unsafe. Like, little things like walking to your car. I remember walking to my car on a first date that when I first started dating, where I met the guy that day who ended up being married. I found out that he was married. He walked me to the car. My car was parked. So I'm like, my gosh, I don't know this guy. He's walking me to my car and there are no other cars around. This was dumb. This was really like even we had a nice time, but like, this is really, really dumb. And so just even though, and that's again, back to that gentlemanly manners. And so I talk about how to address these things. And before you're at the car saying, this is dumb. Now I'm in my 50s. Nobody's going to take out a needle and give me a drug that's going to incapacitate me and sell me into, you know,
traffic,
me, right?
That's not gonna
happen. But I'm like, this was a bad thing to let myself do. But if I were in my 20s, that for sure could have been something that happened to me after he was lovely, right? It was a really nice date.
We talked about this before we recorded it, and we brought it up again. Always walk them to their car, and not always maybe to their door. If like, so we're in a village and the coffee shop is the center of town and there's a municipal parking lot in back and that's dark, or it's just known not to be, you don't want to walk around there at night unless it's a, you know, a Saturday night and the place is booming with people. I want to know that she gets home, especially if I'm interested in her and I'm attracted to her and the date went well. I will say to her, let me walk you to your car. Now I get the idea that I'm walking all the way to your car, but when I get to the parking lot, I'll say to her, which row are you in? And she'll say, this one. And I'll say, blue car, white.
Perfect.
And I then say, okay, I'm going to stand here and watch you walk to your car. And this way I don't have to make her feel uncomfortable, but I want to see her get in her car. I go to my car and I literally wait for her to start her car and pull away. And now I feel safe.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Because I don't want to hear the next day that she had a car accident. Or then somebody I also say to them, somebody heard her. And then I ask them whether the date went well or not. Please text me when you get home that you got home.
That's lovely.
Doesn't mean we have to have a conversation. Just say, hey, Andrew, I am home. And yeah. I ask every date that. It's just something that I feel comfortable yeah. about.
No, that's really lovely. That is a masterclass on how to do it. And so a lot of people will say, well, sometimes a kiss on the first date, even just like a little kiss, do that kiss at that moment, you know, lean in, give, don't wait till the car door. You know, if you want to try for that, go for it. Don't go for the car door. Short and sweet. And then say, okay, I want you to feel safe. Please walk to your car. I love how you said that. What car, what row? Okay, I'm going to stand here so you can feel safe and know that, you know, that I'm not following you to your car. Like, that's beautiful. Now on the flip side, because it's mostly for women. So for you as a woman, say, I love that you're walking to me to my car, maybe even a hand on the chest, especially if you like the person. I love that you're walking me to my car. I'm not quite comfortable with you walking all the way, but my car is that one over there. Would you mind standing here while I walk yeah. over? And I thank you so much for being a gentleman. I'm so sorry that we live in an age that I have to ask you to do this. And honestly, most guys are going to be like not dangerous and this doesn't matter, but you see a lot about their fucking character when they even if they're surprised, how do they handle it when you assert a boundary? How do they handle it when you tell them that you feel comfortable? Do they empathize? Do they have empathy? Can they put themselves in your shoes? Can they respect your boundaries, or do they push it, or do they act bratty? I had someone who I sometimes do research. So he was someone I was researching because I don't want to get cocky. I'm like, this guy has got a kind of he's probably not my type. He's a little bit too aggressive and assertive and going to be too me. But I had a phone call with him. It actually was kind of a nice, fun phone call. I was like, oh, maybe I was wrong. So he said, well, hey, let's meet for coffee. And I'm like, I would love to. Unfortunately, this week is my son's graduation week. I have family in town starting tomorrow. But I would love to meet you next Tuesday when everybody leaves. He had a fit. Really? And I was so, I was so glad that I had, because I would have met him and it would have taken I would have had to wait for a different boundary scenario. But he was like, I can't believe you wasted my time on this call and you're not even going to meet me. And I'm like, but it was so surprising because he had been so lovely up until that point.
I got that. So I had a date. A couple of dates with a woman not too far from me that we were vibing, and we mm-hmm. had gone on three dates. And the third date, I took her to a beautiful restaurant that had valet service. So we're talking about parked cars. Well, they took both of our cars. So when we got out of the restaurant and I gave the guy the ticket, by the way, when we got there, I took her ticket. Now, because I'm going to pay for her valet. It's just a thing that I have. Although that may sound creepy, but like,
if you're just paying for it, yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, he's got my ticket, so I can't get home. But I would think the valet guy is going to get her a car or whatever.
Well, I would, like on the woman's side, I would not like that, because if I wanted to leave early because I wasn't vibing, that would have felt like a power move, because I now have
this
to
This was
go...
the third date, though. This was the third date, yeah.
Okay.
So third the date, guy goes to get the cars, and so we're standing there waiting, and it was a little bit of a chilly night. I think it was back in February. It was a little bit nippy out. No, it's fucking cold out. What am I saying? And opportunity. I turned into her and I said, thank you for coming out and having dinner with me tonight. And I got close to her and I got right in front of her face, not too close. And I said, may I kiss you? And she just kind of like was taken back, but gave me one of these, like, you could tell the expression on her face was like, yes. Yeah. So I went in for the kiss and, you know, we had a nice brief kiss and it was great. And then a couple seconds later, the cars pull up and everything went great.
Oh, beautiful.
And that particular woman also gave me that speech that her daughter was in town that week and she doesn't see her daughter for every 6 months. Yeah. So, and I was like, listen, Jane, take your time. We got next week. So and guys, chill. Okay. One question, then we got to wrap it up. This irks me. And I hope you teach your ladies this. When they put photos on their bios, I saved this for the last question.
Do it too.
Guys are horrible. Guys, especially the gym rats. They too many gym photos. Fortunately, I don't see too many guys' profiles because I'm not looking at them. But women have shown me the other guys' profiles.
Yeah.
This is what I tell my audience to do. Male or female, two headshots. The first two pictures should be headshots. The next two pictures are body shots, but they should be head down. Show me your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a matter of... Because if I get six headshots, what are you hiding? Either you're anorexic or you're a little overweight. It doesn't matter. I think you're marketing yourself. I want to see. That's just my pet peeve. And then the last two shots, show me something that is your character. Do you like kayaking? Do you play volleyball? I have two pictures. I have one picture of me playing tennis, and I have one picture of me riding my bike. And those are one of my two favorite things. So my last two pictures are action shots. So basically an action shot. What do you like to do? Whatever it is. So what's your answer to that?
Yeah, I 100% agree. As a woman, sometimes it's hard. Like when people take pictures of me, I'm like, oh my gosh, I look so terrible in that picture. So I just, I Googled online how to take good selfies. You can get a tripod for like $10 to $15.
Yep.
And just set up, like I dirt bike ride. So the last couple pictures are a selfie sitting on my dirt bike. You can't really see me, but you see me on a dirt bike.
That's all I want to see.
And for men, no, like do not have glasses, sunglasses, not glasses, glasses, sunglasses. Don't have every picture. Let me see your eyes. Let me see your smile. I will not match with someone if every photo has glasses or if you're looking away from the camera. Because what I've found, this is something for you guys to get introspective on, men that have profile pictures that are never looking straight in the camera are always avoidant. They have a self-confidence issue. The guys that look straight in the camera, like that's not an issue. But I've gone out with guys that look like they were sweet. They had like cute faces. They were turned down. They always have, like after a few dates, I'm like, oh, this, that, and it's always a self-confidence thing. So yeah, like first two pictures should be headshots. One should have a good smile. And yep. That, like at least one of them, you should be smiling. And one of them, you should have eye contact with the camera. And then
two
body shots.
One of my first shots are with the headphones on showing that I'm a podcaster. So, and I'm smiling, you know, please tell me that. The selfies, and you mentioned a tripod. Any cell phone on a desk, with like this is what I have. Yeah. It's a little wooden thing.
You can prop it up.
I'm
just saying, like,
and
like
they all have delays on them. You hit delay 5 seconds. You go run or sit, and you can smile. You don't need the fancy equipment. You don't need to hire a photographer. Right. Although if you want to, you can. This is where I'm going. The women who still step into the bathroom and take mirror shots.
I don't mind that because from the women's perspective, it is hard to get someone to take your picture and have it be flattering. So in a mirror shot, you can show. So I will tell my clients this because it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to get people to even do that shot. I see what you're saying, but if you're going to do a mirror shot, make sure your bathroom is clean.
Yeah.
Make sure you don't have clutter around and, you know, and.
Same and, for the guys, because guys do it
same
too.
For the guys.
And you see a pile of laundry in behind them.
Yeah.
I don't like but mirror shots. I think that they're lazy. You're not putting any thought. You could just step it. So you're in the mirror and you're doing this. And I see the phone in your hand. It was said to me once before, your bio should be like a resume. If you really want that job, if you really want that date, you should market it and make it look good. And you would never put a resume out that's half-assed, right? I mean, if you really want that job. So to me, from a guy's perspective, these mirror shots are, especially if they're 1, 2, 3, 4 in a row. And the last one I'm going to say are the bar shots. The woman with her flanked by her wing, what are they called? The wing girls? Mm-hmm. So there's three women sitting at one of those high-rise tables in a bar, and I'm scrolling, and I see.
Yeah, don't.
I don't know which one's you.
Honestly,
and your girlfriend is prettier than you.
You never want to show a picture where somebody is disappointed that you're not one of the other people in the picture. So blur the faces out, or cut it so it's just you. I agree with that. The bathroom shot, because I've had to coach so many women, some women just don't know how to photograph well. So seeing themselves in the mirror, they can at least like know how, like, how their hair looks.
I get it.
And honestly, I get where you're coming from, but most men want to see what a woman looks like and that she's attractive. And I'd rather have my clients have an attractive picture than one that they just like take a picture of and they're like, you know, they're.
Which
you
know, and a lot of them do.
Representative. I want it to be representative. I always say they're going to figure it out. It's not like the minute you meet, they're going to figure it out. So I always say I would rather have them be surprised. A lot of men will say like, oh my gosh, you're cuter in person. I don't think I photograph very well. And so I get that comment a lot.
I don't either.
Which is fine. Yeah. I would rather have that. I would rather have someone be delightfully surprised than like disappointed. I don't want to be disappointed.
Kelly, last summer I had somebody that was head over heels over me. I couldn't get her to stop texting me. We matched and she told me how beautiful or handsome, whatever it was. And when we got on the date, I met her at the boardwalk, which is one of my go-to places because the boardwalk is really easy to get out of.
And
we sat down and the first thing she said to me was, "You don't look anything like your pictures." Now they were within the last year and three of them were within the last 3 or 4 months. I will say that one of them, I was wearing sunglasses and I like to wear a baseball cap backwards. So there was one or two with denim in there, but there were four other shots. And she was very angry at me that I didn't look like my pictures. And needless to say, she literally couldn't wait to get out of there. So
apparently
I didn't look anything like what she, but imagine. Leading up to that, she told me, "You don't know this, but one day we're going to be married." That's what she said to me in one of the texts.
That sounds like someone who's fighting with reality anyway. Yeah. So
She got a big surprise because she didn't like me in real life. So Kelly, tell us where we can find your website, your Swipe Safely program, and any social media you're on.
Yeah. So Swipe Safely is in the Google Play Store and in the Apple App Store. I'm on Instagram, Facebook. I don't have much of a TikTok presence yet. And I have launched YouTube, but getting more into the podcasting. And I actually have a dating show idea. So that's going to be on there too. So you can go to all the usual suspects to, if you want to hear more, connect with me. And of course, I do have my boutique dating coaching experience, and you can reach out Kelly@SwipeSafely if you want more information about that.
Okay. Of course, I'll put all of that in the show notes. And
if you
do launch that dating podcast or show or idea, come back on. We'll talk about it.
Oh, that would be lovely. Yeah. Thank you.
Kelly, thank you so much for joining us today.
It was really lovely.
Full of wisdom. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This was great. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to Digital Dating with Anonymous Andrew. In today's world of endless swipes and fast matches, protecting yourself while finding love is more important than ever. So trust your instincts, set clear boundaries, and remember, you deserve to feel safe, seen, and respected. A big thank you to my guest, Kelly Gagalis, for sharing her insight and energy on dating safety. If this episode made you think, laugh, or learn something new, do me a favor. Rate, follow, and subscribe wherever you're listening. Whatever platform you're on right now, just look down and hit that follow, like, or subscribe button. And leave a review if you're on Apple or Spotify. And don't keep the good stuff to yourself. Share this episode with your friends, family, or anyone navigating the dating world. The more we talk about this, the safer and smarter we all become. I'll catch you next time, folks. And until then, keep swiping smart and dating with purpose. Anonymous Andrew, ciao.